And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Okay, I didn't get the finger that time to start, but I guess the music is the intro.
The music is the intro. It's okay. The first time we heard the music in the studio.
Yes, first time here. And that's our music from our other location, which we shall not mention. Anyway, because this is a nicer place.
And we are in the process of changing the opening.
Well, we'll discuss that.
Okay, I personally spoke to George Gershwin, and he's going to do a...
He's going to write up something
special?
He's
going to write something new for us.
All right, enough of the BS.
Either him or his brother.
Hey, people, nobody knows who we are yet. So, hi, this is Stan Weisleder at The View from Over Here, and we are broadcasting from downtown glamorous Burbank at the Mark Grouse Studio. And with me is my producer, wingman, cohort, and everything else that you want to think of, Malcolm Berman.
Just call me. I'm changing my name to Ed McMahon.
Okay, very good. I like that.
And here is Johnny.
All right. Yeah, well, we're not at that level yet.
Well, you may not be. I am.
Yes, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we're here today and to discuss a number of things.
Well, we have a missing guest who might or might not join us because I think they mistook the time.
Yeah, they fucked up.
Well, as we all do at one time or other.
Speak for yourself, Malcolm.
Okay. Let's get to the issues of the day. What the hell are they?
Well, we went to a Dodger game the other night, Marilyn and I, and I got to tell you, it was so fucking cold. It was unbelievable. And to make matters worse, the Dodgers lost.
Well, I can't be sorry of that because it was the New York Mets who
defeated them. So you're a Met fan?
I was a Brooklyn Dodger fan, and when they left me, I left them. And I was back in 62 when the Mets played their first game, and I think their first year they lost 100 games or 104 games, and they set the record.
Yeah, the Mets started off very poorly.
Here's our guest.
What do you know? Wrong seat.
No, that's okay.
Persian time, boys. Forgive me. I thought it was 3:30.
That means the party's going to be late. I've gone to Persian bar mitzvahs.
Yes, and it's always like you always have to lie about the time because it's usually like starts 2 hours later.
Right, plus it ends at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it does.
Let's go to the right spot.
Okay, why? Sorry. Can I just say that I've been watching you guys, and you guys are so cute. You're so adorable.
Why do you have to get another spot? Why can't you stay there?
Because I wanted to be closer to me.
We got it. We'll play musical chairs.
You boys are such flatterers.
Okay, there you go.
Okay, all right.
Okay, is the camera angle okay or what?
I can't get the hand. So you just came in from Persia? Is that the
story? No, I was born and raised here. I thought it was 3:30. And Joe's like,
you're
what
Persian?
Are you doing?
So what are you doing with the fucking atom bomb? You're going to make an atom bomb?
No, I was born and raised in this country. My dad worked for the U.S. government. I think what happened there is a terrible travesty. It's awful. They were allies with Israel, with the Shah.
You know I am only kidding.
I know. I know.
I don't know. I know. Obviously, in Los Angeles, I know a lot of people of Persian descent. I don't know what you call yourself. Are you Persian or Iranian?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah, okay. That was my question.
Yes.
Or
yes,
Iraqi.
Okay.
What's the difference?
Iraq
is another
Persians
country.
Persians say that they're not Arabs, like Lebanese people.
Okay.
So they say that's a part of their culture. See, when the Muslims came, I hate to get all historical on you guys.
Go for it.
No, we want to know. Everybody out there wants to know. We've
especially
been getting
after
letters.
The revolution. Yes, after the revolution, they said, it's Iran. And the last Shah's father, Reza Shah, changed it to Iran. And they like to say Persian.
Well, before you start ranting.
Introduce yourself.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Vita Ghaffari.
Oh, I thought you
good
just walked
you.
In off the street.
Good to see you.
Oh, okay.
You must have been close by because we just found out.
Like Speedy Gonzalez.
Well, your agent, Joe, I said, where is
Joe
she?
Joe is wonderful. Joe's, I take okay, full okay. responsibility.
So he said, I thought it was 3:30. I said, no, let's go to hurry.
We're only in 4 minutes.
That's 4 minutes and 46
seconds. Can I just say that this is a very prestigious place? Mark Grau is so impressive in voiceover. I'm so impressed you do this show here. You guys are so impressive yourselves with
you really
the
like
New
the
York
show?
Background.
New York.
The New York.
Well, look.
We just need to go to the Crepin's Deli back in D.C.
CCNY.
Let's get back to your historical lesson. Go ahead.
Sure. Okay, so... People use the term Persian because they don't want to be linked. When you think of Iran, you think of what, like hostages? They don't want to be linked with, like, hostages, Islamic fundamentalism. They want to get political, but they want to be known as, like, this is our heritage. This is, like, a nod to our heritage. They don't like to use the word, the term Iranian. And a lot of stand-up comics that are Persian actually say, you know, the whole Iran Persian thing is all whack. Just say whatever it is that you feel like you are.
But, are all Persians Iranians?
Pretty much,
that's
yes.
a question. That's a whole.
That's a whole thing because then you can. There's Zoroastrian ones. There's Jewish ones. There's Armenian ones.
Well, didn't that split occur right after World War One? The powers that be.
Well, they broke up the Ottoman Empire.
Let's
the Ottoman
divvy
Empire.
It up.
Yeah, let's split it down the middle.
But as I was saying,
some middles are better for other people than.
You cut the baby in half.
Cut the baby in half. I like that. I love your accents, fellas.
What accent?
We don't have an accent.
New York
you can't
accent.
New York. Hey, I got to tell you a quick story on that. Many, many years ago, I'm going back and forth to New York to L.A., and I'm at the rental car counter, and a nice young lady says to me, "You're from New York, aren't you?"
Hmm.
And I'm saying, "Wow, does my accent give me away?"
Yes.
And she said, "No, it's your attitude."
That too.
No, it's your license.
No. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah.
What was the famous song that said if you stay in New York, you get too hard, you go to L.A., you get too soft? But you guys haven't softened up. You're still yourselves, right?
Well, I think it was, what the hell?
Who's the guy that sang that? Baz Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann.
He made the movie with Nicole Kidman,
yeah,
and
director.
He sang that song.
Okay.
The sunscreen song.
The sunscreen song. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
You stay in New York too long, you get high. You go stay in California too long, you get soft.
I like the best way Neil Diamond says it in his song when he's going to L.A. Yeah. L.A.'s what?
L.A.'s my L.A.'s what, fine, you know but it ain't mine.
Yeah, right. Something like that.
Yeah, New York state of mind.
Yeah.
But in fact, that's what we were going to talk about the difference between Los Angeles and New York. And even though I've been out here 40 years, I'm still a New Yorker. It's
I feel
amazing.
Like his accent's stronger. Maybe he talks more.
Me?
Maybe
I don't have
more.
An accent.
I love your accent. Remember when I was tuning in to watch Churchill's episode, who I'm going to be working with?
With Thomas?
Thomas Churchill. And I was like, God, these guys are great. Joe, where did you find these guys? They're incredible.
Well, that's why we have, you know, the opening of the show.
Yeah.
You know, with two guys from Brooklyn.
You ain't seen nothing yet, kid.
Oh, I love it.
You got a great New York accent.
Mine is more watered down. It's more D.C. It's more mid-Atlantic.
Where were you raised?
Born and raised in the D.C. area.
In the D.C. area?
Mm-hmm.
As in District of Columbia.
Yes, but actually from Maryland. Because
from Maryland.
Maryland is very close to D.C., like 5 miles
and
away.
And I watch NCIS, so they're constantly
exactly.
in Maryland.
Exactly. And, you know, I went to school with a lot of New Yorkers.
D.C. was carved out of part Maryland and part Virginia.
Yes, it was. And it's very controversial because they want to be their own, what is it, their own statehood or something? Because it's a
statehood.
District.
Yeah.
It's
not
a city.
Going to happen.
Never
going to
happen.
But anyway,
never
getting back to Iranians and Persians.
Yeah, we got off the track.
We got off the track.
Give us that history lesson.
So, I mean, I think a lot of people, when they say they're Persian, it's like a nod and wink to the culture. Like if someone says to you, I'm Persian, that they're saying, okay, well, I'm not into that crazy nonsense that happened over there. I'm just like a person that happens to be Persian. And it's like a nod, wink to my culture.
What's interesting, I found that many years ago when I was speaking to people who said they were Persian, turned out they were Jewish.
Yes.
So they didn't want to say they were Iranians but they didn't want to say they were Jewish, but they said they're Persian. But nine out of 10 times, the ones who said they were Persian were Jewish.
Well, are there Armenians or there Zoroastrians?
They were either kicked out of the country or they left in the early 80s.
Yes.
And then they took whatever they could
took
put in
their suitcase. Everything
they
could and they left. For me,
Ayatollah
it was the reverse. My dad worked for the U.S. government and he was going to try to get his property back. And they're like, wait a second, buddy. You want to get your property back? You can't do that. There's a thing in Iran. There's no meaning of it in English because it doesn't exist. Where they basically put you under house arrest, but they give you all your stuff back or they throw you out of the country. And my dad's like, you know what? I think I'm going to leave. Mm-hmm. Because he worked for the U.S. government, taught at universities in the U.S. So my family was like a reverse revolution.
Uh-huh.
So.
But we had a guest on the other week, this young lady.
The Armenian one.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. And we had her on because of the 101st anniversary of the genocide.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she told a very interesting story, spoke very well. Her book was interesting. And it told all of the stuff, all of the nonsense
stuff.
That her family had to go through in order to get here. And she is so appreciative of this country. You can't imagine.
Of course.
Well, I see Fiddler on the Roof, and my grandparents are from Russia.
Oh.
I see Fiddler on the Roof, and they came, I think, like in 1903 or 1905. So I see my great-great-grandfather there pushing Stavia.
Right.
We're leaving Russia because of the pogrom.
Republic of Georgia. They're originally from Russia. They went to Georgia, and then they ended up in Iran. But I'm part Georgian myself.
You're part Georgian.
Georgian mean you're from the south, near Alabama?
Georgia, yeah.
No, like the Republic of
Georgia.
I know. You're funny.
But anyway,
so you guys like hang out? Do you go to like different delis and stuff?
No.
No?
Actually,
Greenblatt's is good, but it's a little bit rich for my blood. It's a little pricey. You got to go up those stairs.
Actually,
speaking of delis, I have to real quick. In New York, they used to be known for delis. And at one time, there were like, I think, 3,000 delis. And the number has shrunk dramatically.
Hmm.
Somebody did a video on it, one of these iPod things or whatever. The thing that we're trying
YouTube.
To do.
Podcast.
Whatever it's called. And they said, yeah, we had so many delis. Now we're down to this many. Things change. People change. For whatever reasons.
But you cannot find good corned beef in Los Angeles.
No, you cannot.
And it's all dried out.
And I don't like Cantor's very much.
Cantor's is dirty. It doesn't
smell fresh.
It is dirty, or as they might say in French, schmutzy.
What's the famous one downtown that everybody goes to?
Oh, I go Langer's. Langer's on. They make a great.
I've never been to Langer's.
It's not bad for someone like you. It might be.
Someone
New
like
York.
Me.
You're a New
like
Yorker.
Me.
You're a New Yorker. You
New
might
Yorker,
be a little
yeah.
bit finicky.
And you can't find a kosher knish. I don't know if you know what kosher is.
Yes, I know what it is.
It's called, health-wise, it's called buckwheat groats.
Yes, buckwheat groats.
Well, the Russians in West Hollywood do a pretty good job. But, again, you're a New Yorker.
So I'm a New Yorker.
Speaking of Russia, you ever go to a Russian nightclub?
No.
Yes.
It's an experience you will not forget.
It was a lot of golden sequins and
a lot of food.
And a lot of vodka.
A lot of booze. Entertainment all night long, and you don't get your main meal. I mean, you start eating at 8 o'clock, let's say.
Right.
You don't get your main course until maybe 1, 2 in the morning.
It's like a Persian bar mitzvah.
It's like a Persian bar mitzvah.
In Brighton Beach in Brooklyn, it's now called Odessa by the Sea.
Mm, nice.
That's where they have a Russian
right, and about, I don't know, it must have been about 20.
A Russian nightclub.
Nightclub. And about 20 years ago, I think it was, my mother celebrated her like 75th birthday.
Nice.
And we invited me and my brother, invited all the relatives to this Russian nightclub.
That's hilarious. I can only imagine.
In Brighton Beach.
I know that place, yeah.
It's got to be flashier than Persian.
Oh, no, very flashy. They had like two levels. They had a stage. And we walked in there, and on the table was all these, you know, cold cuts and the food and bottles of vodka. And I thought that was it. So, of course, I stuffed myself. Then they took that away and served the dinner. And then they had a band come up that was playing, and they were also playing Jewish songs.
Someone should have told you.
Yeah, that's the appetizer, dude.
That was the appetizer. What's the name of that restaurant in
New York?
Yeah, in the Lower East Side?
Sammy's.
Romanian.
Yeah.
There's a place. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's still there.
You should go there.
Sammy's Romanian. Well, you have to be part of the clan also. They sing Yiddish songs.
Well, I'm a little bit of everything.
Okay.
They have a very limited menu there.
Oh, I fell in love. I used to love breaded veal cutlets.
That's their main thing?
Have you ever had that?
I've had that, but you know what I really like is what's that? Matzo ball soup is good, but what's the thing that's really popular? The meat?
Kreplach?
What's the meat? What is it? Not
meat.
The meat dish. Why is it not coming to me? They have it at the holidays during
brisket.
I tried their Gelson's brisket. I'm sorry, Gelson's, but it was a big Debbie Downer.
Yeah. I never liked brisket much. I prefer baby back ribs.
Why
well
no
done.
Brisket? But brisket when it's done right is very good.
Well, we have my wife is Salvadorian.
Interesting.
So, and she can cook anything well. So we have like matzo braised with frijoles for breakfast.
Oh, you could start your own genre of
we
food.
We do. It's a mixture.
His wife makes something great, which I went to in a Cuban restaurant.
Hey, you guys are making me hungry.
Well, we can go out to eat.
They served up, what's that? Yucca.
Yucca.
It's on a menu. I said, wow, yucca. I ordered it. I figured it would be just the way Anna made. Oh, all they do is boil it.
Well.
It's not fried. Okay.
When
it's fried, it's unbelievable.
I've never had yucca.
You know what it tastes like? a big French fry.
It sounds so bad for you. So it's like, then you go to your doctor afterwards.
It is bad. It tastes good, but it's bad for you.
Wait, you shouldn't eat like that.
It goes with chicharrones.
That sounds naughty, too.
Fried pork.
Oh, my God. It sounds like a stomach ache on a plate.
It's great.
Let's go to the gastroenterologist afterwards.
I think we got off the subject. Are we done with your historical?
I think we're done with...
Okay. I was more for your guys' edification.
Yeah. Well, I remember in school learning about the Greeks and they're fighting the Persians.
Yes.
They were Persians back then, not Iranians
or Iraqis. No, no. I always joke that if the Greeks didn't invade and then the... Then the Mongolians and then the Arabs didn't come. I probably would have been 7 feet tall if the damn Greeks.
Back in those days, everybody was invading everybody.
Yeah, we were all 7 feet tall.
But there were no countries like there are now. All these countries
were areas.
There were regions.
Yeah, because all these countries were set up by the Western powers after World War I to control the oil rights.
Exactly.
The same thing that happened in Africa, which was mainly tribes.
Exactly. And the Anglo-American Oil Company and all that
and
good stuff.
You know what else, if you look back?
And if elected president.
Oh, my God, you guys, I'm so scared about this presidency.
No, don't go there.
Wait.
We'll go there. But anyway, now I forgot what I was talking about. Oh, yeah, very easy.
Yes.
If you look back in history, whenever you have an undeveloped country or an area where they're still running around in loincloths and somebody comes from a so-called civilized country.
With a loincloth?
Who the hell knows?
I don't think
anyway,
so.
Anyway, when someone comes from a so-called civilized area, they take over and now belongs to Queen Isabella or whatever. So the Spaniards did it, the Portuguese did it, the English did it. Whoever the weaker person was became a subject of whoever was doing the subjecting.
Ask all the American Indians in this
country.
Well, they probably got screwed more than anybody.
My favorite story about that is I think it was in James Michener's book or one of the book about the Tahiti and the islands. Mm-hmm. And before the American missionaries came, they treated like, you know, the family, if a woman wanted to have sex with anybody, she could have sex with anybody. There was
even
no
a brother.
No.
That's what they did in Zoroastrian times. I shouldn't say that. But
there was no moral reason not.
Well, they wanted to carry the royalty or the whatever they owned.
I'm sure that was done a few hundred years ago.
But the family was interesting because when a woman got pregnant, it was a blessing of the gods. They didn't say, you know, oh, that's the father. And when the child was born,
like immaculate conception?
It was immaculate conception, but they didn't think the guy was the birth was the savior. Even in my case, I am. But
you're immaculate.
Okay. And that's what my mother told me.
And he's got the City College sweatshirt to prove it.
You're immaculate, Malcolm.
I used to call myself.
What did you call yourself?
Maharishi Mahesh Malcolm.
Huh? Say that
again. Maharishi Mahesh Malcolm.
Okay.
Do you have a turban too?
No, it's too dangerous nowadays.
How come you're not dressed in white from head to foot?
I got into meditation back in the late 60s, early 70s when Maharishi was around and took the Beatles up to...
I have some more questions because everybody wants to know. Okay?
I'm talking.
If you guys are ever in D.C., you have to go to Crouppen's Bakery. Even Larry King would go there.
Larry King? Who the hell is he?
Is he Jewish?
You guys!
Seriously.
We got to have him on the
going
show.
Going back... Persian, Iranian, Iraqi. What religion did they generally practice? Let's say going back to the days of the Greeks fighting the Persians at the Thermopylae and all of those
places.
They were
Zoroastrians. They worshipped fire.
They were Zoroastrians.
Yeah, it was a very earth, wind, and fiery religion.
Like in the song. Okay.
Yes, like in the song.
Now, can I finish my story about sex? Which my wife always...
You never finish that story, so go ahead.
You're the Immaculate Conception.
When a child was born... The brother of the woman took the child in as a family. So the family unit was a sister, the brother, and the children.
Wow, real tribe.
Right. So there was no illegitimate children that would have a single parent. There was always a family. Until the Christians came in and converted them to Christianity. Then all of a sudden this became shameful.
Mm-hmm. But wait a minute.
And of course they brought in syphilis, gonorrhea,
but
and all the other
Christians
favorite diseases.
Way back in... medieval times or even middle age or whatever before the Renaissance where they had the guy in charge had first rights if a couple would get married.
They still have them.
Huh?
They still have them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just call me Father Malcolm.
No, you. You're funny.
You got me on that one.
Why do you think they call them Father, right?
Got it. Okay.
Right. Anyway, getting back.
One for Malcolm.
I was raised in a very secular family, and I think most Iranians or Persians or whatever we want to call ourselves were raised in a very secular family. I think in a culture like that, religion became so fanatical that it turns people off. A lot of people have converted to Christianity or all sorts of other things, but you'd be surprised. But I think for me, I feel very blessed and lucky that I wasn't raised with really anything. I had very open-minded parents. My dad was a scientist. He was an atheist. So I feel in a way that that was like
so
a blessing for me.
So you're also a heathen.
I don't know. I think I like to think my mom was an optimistic agnostic. So I'd like to think that I respect all religions, but I don't
That's
really
good.
After
an
what happened to Iran,
agnostic.
It's just so sad. You know, they were allies with Israel. Things were great with the U.S. Things were booming. And then
did you ever figure how religion first originally started? I have a theory on that. It's back in the days when people did not know what caused lightning and thunder.
Mm.
I think that was the beginning of religion.
Do people know now?
A lot of them don't. Most people out there don't know shit about anything.
I hear the thunder and the lightning.
You hide under the bed.
I'll tell you. I used to share a house out in Fire Island, which is like in the middle of the Atlantic. Not in the middle of the Atlantic. But
now
it's
a real fun place, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that like where gay guys go now? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. Okay. No. Yeah. No. Actually, that's where it got popular. Fire Island is a sandbar, basically, off of the Long Island coast. It's about 50, 60 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
And
quarter of a mile wide.
Maybe.
Really?
It's very, really narrow.
Tiny.
And basically, cars are outlawed. You cannot have – there are no roads. They want to build roads, but cars are outlawed.
So you walk everywhere.
If you either walk from community to community or they have –
What if you have an ATV? Are those permitted? With the big wheels, so they could go on sand.
Sounds very
1980s. If they are electricians or plumbers, or they need emergency vehicles.
Oh, okay.
But as far as
so
you can't get a license,
ordinary people can't.
If you want to get to community from community, in fact, there are even no bike paths only in the community.
You walk.
You walk, or you take what's called the water taxi.
Or you could swim.
No, each community has a pier.
So that would make
so would
money
up,
for the city for them to take a water taxi.
Yeah. So you call up, could have your water taxi at Fair Harbor, which I stayed, and they want to go to Cherry Grove. And for each community.
Sounds very nice.
Uber the water, right.
They probably do that now.
Very nice.
But Cherry Grove and Fire Island Pines were the two gay communities.
So you, what do you have? You have membership there? Or
if I could afford the Pines, I would become gay. They had houses
there
people only used during the summertime, right? That would make the houses in Malibu for shame.
What about the Hamptons?
The Hamptons also. But the Hamptons I didn't like because the Hamptons you had to have a car.
Oh.
I lived in Manhattan, and I had enough traffic and smog. As a matter of fact, when I would come.
It's become very trendy. I hear now all the celebrities are there. It's become like.
Fire Island or the Hamptons?
The Hamptons.
The Hamptons always were.
You have areas in Brooklyn now where 50 years ago you couldn't even give away the property.
I know.
And now it's gone through the roof.
Well, I
hope you boys invested.
Invest? Yeah, call me Donald. call me the Malcolm.
The Malcolm. Okay. But you need a wig. You need a wig.
You need a red wig, and you need a supermodel wife. No offense to your wife.
I'm
not going to say anything.
That's it.
I'm sure she's pretty, even though she bakes you things that are not good for you.
This is okay, you can't see it.
Do you have kids?
No,
she's very pretty. She's very young.
Yeah, no, she's not. I'm very old.
These are your two sons?
Yeah.
What do you have, a 40-year?
Are they twins?
No, 21 and 19.
So
he goes
cute.
To the University of California, Santa Barbara.
Nice.
And he goes to Cal Poly, St. Louis Obispo.
Nice.
And that's why I still have to work at this my advanced age.
What is the difference in age between you and Anna? 40 years?
No. Let me put it like
this. I had an older dad. Really old.
When I was graduating college, she was born.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you're
so
quite
about
the player.
21-year difference.
22 years difference.
22,
21.
Okay.
Actually,
how did
21
that happen?
I don't know. It's God's will.
You must be a charmer.
No, I'm a flirter. When I first met her, she just came in the country and she was.
She didn't understand English.
And I didn't understand Spanish, and it was perfect.
Wow.
Well, you conned her.
Were you married before?
No, my first.
And you got married at what age?
I was lived in before.
So you, like, had a whole life.
I had a life.
You were, like, what, in your 40s or something?
Yeah. I was...
You were never married.
Never married.
You were, like, a male spinster.
I was lived in twice.
Exactly.
You're like my spinster. Dad. My dad was a male spinster, didn't get married till much older,
there
had a much younger wife.
There was
lived
no,
to be over 100.
Ooh.
That could be
I
you.
Got time. Please, dear God. No. wait a minute.
We have to know what she does.
You guys are so cute.
Okay, go ahead.
We could have her on another show.
Go.
I would love it.
This is only the first hour of the show. In fact, we could continue the show for another hour.
Only the beginning.
Yeah, we could do
only
2 hours. Beginning.
You guys are so adorable.
Well, I can't. I have an appointment tonight.
Are you single?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not.
You're like older men. Well... Did I ask
hey,
you?
Hey, I'm old enough to be her grandfather.
So, look at Woody Allen. He just opened up his new
My sister likes in. Much older men, actually.
How old is she?
12.
She's a little older than me. Thank you.
Well, I find out that women who are not necessarily born in this country, because before Anna was Salvadorian,
yes,
I was going
my
out
mom
with a
was born in Iran. Yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
I was going with a Filipino who was like 17 years younger than me.
Then why didn't it work out with the Filipino? Men love the Asian thing.
And
she's
we
Latin,
ready.
Too.
I wasn't ready.
You definitely have a type. You like the Latina type.
He said he wasn't ready.
Oh.
Actually, he's still not ready.
No, there was something special about
her. Special about her, and it was time they wanted children.
Oh.
With the other ones, I wasn't ready to have a child.
Mm.
So it was fine if we lived together.
Do you find that being a more mature, quote-unquote, dad, like, you're different than most fathers? Like, you're worried more, you care more? Oh, my dad was like that.
You'll have to ask my sons.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. I think I took more active participation in my son's upbringing.
You have
so
a
you
beautiful
took them
family.
To all of the games. You took them to the kids.
AYSO, the American Youth Soccer Organization. We were Little League Baseball.
You went to every single game.
Every single game.
Wow.
You know Sharon, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
His daughter.
Okay, that's the middle one, okay? And when she
Where's
was
your a, pictures?
I don't carry pictures.
Oh.
No.
Not like him.
No, he likes to brag and
He's
show
He's sentimental.
Off.
Yeah. I don't think it's bragging. I think it's sweet.
I don't carry a picture of my dog. Nobody. Anyway, I was starting to say that's our middle one. And when she was involved in baseball, so... She said to me, why don't you be the coach? I said, me? What the hell do I know? Well, okay, I played a lot of ball when I was younger, and what the kids know even less than I do. So I said, okay, I'll be the coach. And we had a great team. She was a good player she did that starting at age, I think, 10, 11, oh, it was 9, 10,
Didn't
and 11.
Did girls play softball, not baseball?
It was hardball, baseball.
She's a tough girl.
She was good, yeah, good player.
They have girls in the...
Really? I thought girls just did softball, boys did baseball.
I had to tell you about that because a lot of the parents would come root for the kids or not root for the kids. And when it came to the girls, the parents brought them there because I believe in their minds we were providing a babysitting service.
Oh.
And they really didn't give a shit what happened or how the kids did. And one time we had the best team, so we were elected to play a boys' team.
That's a big deal back then, especially.
And we got clobbered, okay, really, because they were bigger, faster, stronger, et cetera, et cetera. But when their parents came, the boys' team parents, they'd be shouting and yelling and being obnoxious. You can't imagine how obnoxious they were.
Of course, they're boys.
Yet, but the parents were obnoxious.
Oh, the parents, yeah.
Well, if you
parents.
Think that's bad in baseball, you should
Stage
see them
moms.
In soccer.
Oh, stage moms and dads. Soccer moms, soccer dads.
Yeah.
But what was fun, I was talking about that, my little anecdote, I guess my son must have been like 11, 12 years old playing in the Little League, and he hits a home run. And it was a nice field in Sherman Oaks. Hits a home run. Mm, all the dads came up to me congratulating me. What the hell did I have
to
do
with
it? So,
are your kids friends? Like, do you guys, like, hang out all the time? Do you, like, do stuff together?
With him? Are you kidding? No way.
No.
Of course, his kids, he got married at a young age, so his kids are in their 50s.
Oh, you're so blessed.
They're in their 50s.
Are you a grandfather?
Yeah.
And your grandkids are, like, how old? Like, 10?
No. Let's see. Brian is, I think the youngest is 17. Then there's 23.
That's great.
And my oldest is 21.
See, then, it's an interesting generational thing.
As a matter of fact, my niece was over in her family for Mother's Day, right? So my niece here is 16.
Oh.
Saturday, my niece in New York was 50.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, the three grandkids.
So you should know about that.
Totally.
Robert, he's at 17, I believe, and he's already, I think, a sophomore at Berkeley.
Nice.
Danielle, who's a real pisser. I mean, this kid is like, oh, unbelievable. Anyway, she's about 23, I believe. She went to USC, graduated, got a job, 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
Most of her classmates were months without a job.
They're still
working. Boom, 1, 2, 3.
They work at McDonald's.
No, she got a real great job.
No, her classmates.
Oh, the others, yeah.
Classmates.
And then the oldest one, the oldest one became an actuary.
Mm-hmm.
And
interesting.
Her son, who was the Brian, the oldest grandson, he is about 24. No, he's 25, I think.
Mm-hmm.
25.
Okay, well, let's get to the important
things. I believe 25. No, why am I running out?
Is this your
family? 28.
This is my mother. My mother's
beautiful.
My mother is the older one. It's my aunt.
Mm.
And none of them are alive now. But I got
he looks like a really cool dude.
That's my grandfather.
Yeah.
And that's my grandmother.
A beautiful this family. It reminds me of like my Russian side. Like it's because you're Russian.
I said Vida. Or is it Vida?
Vida.
No, it's Vida.
Vida. Like
I want
life.
You to tell us in your own words who you are and what you do and why you are here. Why did we invite you to come here?
Okay. I am an actor, voiceover artist. And that's why I love being here, because this is...
Have you ever worked at this studio?
I've never worked at Mark Grout, but I think I went to a party here once, and it was a lot of fun. They had great moves.
Aaron, if you ever need voiceovers, we have the actors for you.
Yay! I would love to work here. I've done commercials. I've done narration. I just did my first animation feature. I'll tell you guys about that. I'm very excited. And I'm a fashion and beauty blogger with SoVeryVita.com.
All right.
And my amazing publicist, Joe Williamson, got me in, and I take the full blame for being for me.
Okay, and why aren't you married?
Because, like my first boss said, you pick and you pick and then you pick nothing.
Lie down on my couch. Tell me about it.
I know, right? Lynn Dubinsky, you were right.
Anyway, so that's all you have to say about yourself?
There's more.
Tell us.
Okay, well, going back to voiceover, I just did my first voiceover animated feature, and it was Lovesick Fool. It was written, directed, and animated by Dominic Polsino. He's an Emmy-nominated, voiceover guy.
And feature TV.
And television. He worked on The Simpsons, Family Guy, and King of the Hill. Uh-huh. Amazing guy. Being directed by him was fabulous.
Yeah, you get into that and you could be to make a bloody fortune, voiceovers.
You could, but it's, there were three
celebrities. And they never know who you are.
There were three celebrities in that film.
Right.
I think the celebrities get a lot of the voiceovers. It was Lisa Kudrow, Fred Willard, Janine Garofalo. So the movie got a lot of buzz. It was at Holly Shorts. It won first place at Topanga Film Festival.
But do they get those assignments because of who they are or because they have the right voice for whatever is being...
You know, I will say there were three tremendous name actors, and they all did great. Like, Lisa Kudrow's character was like artsy-fartsy. She was like a psychic, much like her character in Friends.
Okay.
Fred Willard was like the straight man, much like the characters that he portrays in film and TV. And Janine Garofalo was like the quirky woman that she played like in Reality.
Well, the thing is with the voices, because the voices are so familiar.
Yes, and they need name people.
It brings the audience right into it. Whether they know who it is or not, it just feels comfortable.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's a continuity with the character.
Totally. They totally do.
But good voiceover people. Years ago in another life, I used to produce TV commercials.
Yes, I saw. I was very impressed. And you're very impressive, too. And your Jonah Schwartz guy is impressive, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, he's a great...
He's a Maryland person.
Oh, and he's a great reviewer.
And I'm from Maryland, and I used to do...
Now, you're from D.C., not Maryland.
Well, a little bit of both.
No, she says D.C.,
but he did Maryland cable TV.
Did he?
And he did this International Press Academy. And I know the lady who founded it, Marivana von Blarikholm.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah.
Where was she?
It's the International Press Academy. It was a lot of the people that left the Hollywood Foreign Press Association because they thought it was crooked. But anyway, you're Jonah Schwartz guy. I must meet this fellow because we know a lot of people in common. Is he here?
Yeah. Francesca. There's a friend of mine, Francesca, and I forget her last name now.
There was an interesting lady, too, on the website.
A PR lady for the Hollywood Foreign Films.
Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
Yeah.
Very controversial.
Right. I think they were like... but they're very influential.
They're very influential. They run the whole Golden Globes.
Right. And there are about 23 of them.
Golden Globes, if somebody wanted to look you up, do you have an IMDb?
Yes, I do. I'm on IMDb under Vida Ghaffari, V-I-D-A, last name G-H-A-F-F, like Frank, A-R-I.
You want to put your last name in there? Can you be Vida? It might be interesting. Vida.com or something.
That would make me like Fabio, though.
So?
Someone once put me on IMDb as Vida, and one of my friends was like, why would somebody do that? They can't just put your last name. What are you, like Fabio? Yanni? What are you? What is that?
Yeah, but if you know about it, you could be Cher.
Well, she doesn't in use the old days, you know, ethnicity was frowned upon.
But now,
it's great. You can be ethnically ambiguous, but I'm telling you guys.
People blast it all
I'm
over.
I'm very excited. I'm going to be in a Western by Rick Grote. I'm not going to play an Indian. I'm going to play like a prairie woman. Like,
you play prairie woman?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was so excited. I guess I'm fair. So maybe the guy thought, okay, I'm going to be the son of Dick Van Patten, James Van Patten's sister.
The son of Dick Van Patten?
Yeah, his sister in The Prairie Woman.
Dick passed away.
Yeah, Dick passed away. He was honorary mayor of Sherman Oaks, where I reside.
Well, Dick lived, I lived in a place called Horace Hyde Estates.
I love Horace Hyde Estates. It looks like Fred Flintstone.
Yeah,
doesn't it look like Fred Flintstone?
Exactly.
And Dick used to live there, so he was a good friend of Horace. So I know Dick and his wife and his sons and his daughter-in-law.
You know, Jeff Rector lives there. Jeff Rector, have you heard of him? He does a lot of action movies.
Oh, yes.
And he has the Burbank Film Festival. Right. Yes. Lots of interest. I live very close to
it. And we had Hank Garrett there, who was...
Yes, and Hank Garrett's also rep by Joe, and Hank is amazing. Yeah.
He did our show, I think, 2-3 weeks ago. So
about 3 weeks ago.
They have a studio there, don't they?
Yes, he does it. Also on Malcolm Digital Radio, we have the Horace Height, America Swings Revisited. And it's old shows that Horace did
at his estate.
You never heard of the old Horace Height.
Oh, I have. You have. Okay. I know all about him.
Because most people, Horace who?
It's like, what's the name of that Lawrence Welk? It's like Lawrence Welk.
He precedes Lawrence Welk.
Oh.
Well, he did one of the first movies, Pot of Gold. A big band movie. That's why he came out here, a senior.
So why don't you just do everything there? With all due respect to Mark Rao, if you live there, wouldn't it be convenient? You just walk out of your room.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
it's difficult.
Is Stan on that show too? Or
No.
Otherwise, it would be Stan and Malcolm.
No, I'm not. Actually,
Malcolm and Stan.
What show? The Horace Hyde Show?
Yeah.
No, that's called America Swings.
Oh.
And I started that about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I left. Then I got back on again. Then I left. And I'm on again.
They have a really cute little coffee place there, too. It's like 35 cents for a coffee. I've always wanted to go and have their coffee.
Coffee. Well, they have
a breakfast.
The Haleaka room.
Yes.
Do we have breakfast?
I want some party. Voluntary. They ask you to put it in.
They ask you to put it in. It doesn't cost.
That's sweet, though.
And they have
I give them a buck, even.
And they have bagels.
They have bagels, yes.
But they're not fresh bagels.
Oh, well, what are you going to get?
What do you want for 35 cents?
I know.
It's a great place to live. In fact, I have more square footage in my house than I had when I owned my home.
Why is that? You live in one of the big houses at the end?
Do you live near the golf thing? No, not at the house end. I live right off Magnolia.
Yes, I know. I'm very familiar. I can walk there from where I live.
And I have a three-bedroom because of the two boys. Over 2,000 square feet.
How is that possible?
Don't ask me.
I guess it's possible. It's so cute, though, with a Fred Flintstone architect.
You had four people living in 2,000 feet, square feet.
2,000, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We each had a bedroom. Well, we each didn't have a bedroom. I share
the
a bedroom.
Boys had
I share a bedroom with my wife.
When I was a that's nice of you.
And then
very thoughtful. When I was a kid, when we lived in Brooklyn. Do you know Brooklyn?
Vaguely, yeah, I've been there.
Okay, you don't want to go there. Trust me.
Very expensive in Shishi now.
No. Where I come from, it was never Shishi. It might be maybe in 100 years. When they get done tearing down the other neighborhoods, they'll get to this one. But we were so poor. I mean,
how poor were you?
Well, you ever hear that joke about this guy? He was adopted by this family of Ethiopians. I think he was really talking about me. But my father had his own grocery store, so
you were never hungry.
We were never hungry.
Never hungry.
We had nothing else.
How could you be poor if your dad had a grocery store in Brooklyn?
Because we had nothing else. We had nothing.
Wasn't Nixon the son of a grocer?
Yeah, but, Tricky Dicky, that was a different kind of thing. That was in California.
That was in Orange County.
Yeah, that's not Brownsville in Brooklyn. It's a world apart. Trust me. Anyway, we didn't have anything. We had three rooms.
You had the Brooklyn Dodgers. What more did you need?
Oh, Brooklyn Dodgers. I got to tell you a story. Cute story. Oh, well, I think it's cute.
Hey, we shouldn't talk to ourselves. What baseball team do you like? You into baseball?
Oh, gosh. The Orioles because I'm from Maryland. Orioles. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
When you were growing up, who were the big player? Was Brooks Robinson? Or that was prior to Brooks?
I think it was. Cal Ripken was big.
Cal Ripken Jr.
And he's still in commercials there. People are mad for Cal Ripken.
And were you a Baltimore Colt fan?
I was more into the Redskins, even though it's politically incorrect. I guess I live.
Well, back then, Redskins were
politically
incorrect.
Why the hell is that politically incorrect?
I guess American Indians are angry.
Have they complained?
Some tribes have, some of them haven't. Some of them
said. Well, anyway, getting back to Cal Ripken, Jill, okay?
Jill Ripken?
No, Jill, my daughter.
Yes.
She's the youngest of the three, and she works for the Dodgers. She's been with them about 20
years.
Nice!
You must get good tickets.
Well, we get tickets, but we pay for them. We don't get them for free.
You don't get discounts?
She could get us free tickets way up in the boonies.
Right.
Okay, but she's been with them for
20
years.
But you have dugout seats, right?
Yeah. And she's
nice
one of their
rich,
photographers. And she took a shot of Cal Ripken, I think, about the year he retired or the year right before. It was a nice portrait shot. And she has sold that picture so many times. People want to buy it and put it up in their living room.
So she's a Dodgers photographer.
Yes.
Like the wire image of Dodgers.
Yeah.
Getty images of Dodgers.
The Dodgers have three photographers. There's John, Juan, and Jill.
And Vince Kelly.
I love it. One girl is your daughter.
Yes.
You must be very proud.
Yeah.
Don't they have a special dugout like area where like the famous people go and like they have parties?
No, they go all over.
It's called dugout suits.
In the dugout.
No. They have like events there. It's like a special
thing.
They
do have events. A lot of times
she
covers
them. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. Special events. In fact, she did one. She did a couple already this year. They always ask her to do the special events. It could be for whatever.
I had the best experience there. I went with one of the former Dodgers, but he was a minor leaguer. He took me to one of the games, and he had very good seats. And I learned so much because, you know, the guy was a former Dodger. It was like being in the game with like a real athlete.
So what did you learn?
You forgot
about baseball.
Okay.
I kind of forgot. I kind of learned a lot about the different players and like when he was in the minor league and the difference between the minor league and the major league. And I have to say he was a little bit bitter because he was a minor league.
You know what? I got to tell you, this year they got so many new players, like almost everybody coming. Never heard of this guy before. Of course, they've been around. They played minor league.
Right.
And they have
traded,
a history. Yeah. They've been back sideways, traded, like you say.
And but, I think it's unfair. Some of them make a lot more money than the other ones.
Yeah, but nobody makes less than a mil.
No, and that's what he was complaining about because he was a minor leaguer.
Yet, I got to say this, the photographers don't get that much money. Jill is making now what she did 20 years ago.
Well, it's getting harder for media people.
Just a story about the Dodgers, and I'm an old Brooklyn Dodger fan when they were there, and it was very bitter when they left. And there was
I can imagine.
And the owner was Walter O'Malley. In fact, till this day, I really cannot support the Dodgers. Really support them, to love them like I used to do with the Brooklyn Dodgers. But I mean, the old joke. I think I've told this. If there were three people in the room, Hitler, Mussolini, and Walter O'Malley, the Dodgers, and you had a gun with two bullets in them. In the gun. Who would you shoot?
Well, I'd shoot Hitler and Mussolini.
Okay, the joke is, if you were a Dodger fan, first bullet, you'd shoot Walter O'Malley.
Wow, that's a lot of hatred.
Right.
Trump's Hitler and Mussolini.
The second bullet, you'd shoot him again to make sure
he's dead. Oh, my goodness.
But that's how bitter the feelings were against them
when
they left.
I'll tell you a cute story. Years ago, I don't remember exactly when, I was going back and forth on business, and picture this. A trustee meeting in a big conference room with union representatives.
Mm.
Okay? The type from New Jersey. That's where it was in New Jersey.
Hardcore.
New Jersey.
Yeah. And one guy says, hey, Angelo, how do you think the Brooklyn Dodgers are going to do this year? And Angelo says, hey, we got a visitor here from L.A. You have to remember, it's no longer the Brooklyn Dodgers. It's the L.A. Dodgers. And then the other guy says, and I could say this because we're, okay? I don't give a fuck what they call themselves. To me, they'll always be the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Wow.
Okay, now getting back, what's coming up? What do you want people to know about you?
Wow. I have a film that's screening at the Marché du Film at the Cannes Film Festival. I'm very excited. Strangers in a Book. It's with Jean Mack from Saw 6, Christy McGinnity-Gibble.
Are you going to fly there?
You know, I was, but I've got so much going on. I'm doing two shows. I'm doing a show live with Ford and Vita, my friend Ford Austin. He's a board member of SAG, lifetime member of the Actors Studio. Martin Landau is his mentor. I'm also doing a show with Donna Lee Heising called Ion Entertainment. I have other projects that I'm doing, voiceover gigs that I'm doing here and there. I'm going to be working on Darling Nikki with Gregory Hatanaka and James Duvall from Independence Day. I'm excited about that. And going to be working on a number of films with the amazing Thomas Churchill.
In other words, what you're really saying is they didn't give you free airfare back and forth.
You know, I could have gotten a media pass. You know, I didn't work it really because, to be honest, there's a couple reasons. I'm really busy with my blog, and I've slowly started monetizing So Very Vita. I've had a couple of personal appearances I've had to make. My mom has been under the weather, and I don't want to leave my mom and go to the south of France. So I've had a lot of – thankfully, she's better. Thank God, Mom, you're better. But, you know, but I
– even with free airfare, it'll cost you in time, energy – clothing. You can't
Yes, I have to get loan outs from designers. And when you get loan outs, you have to get your hair and makeup done.
Right.
You have to wear the best jewelry.
Every day.
Every day.
But actually, the problem is now with flying, you have to be there like 17 hours before they...
Exactly. And I'm in the Marche du film. If I was actually in the Cannes, I'm in the film market. If actually in Cannes, I'd go, but I'm in the film market.
Malcolm, look at that. 17-hour trip. You know how many movies you could watch?
That's true.
Well, see, I got spoiled when I was working for a radio station that we used to have a trade with the airline. So I used to travel first class with New York. I did a lot of trips to New York and to London first. Now when I'm put into coach, when I'm paying for myself, I hate it. Because in first class, you come aboard and the host says, oh, Mr. Berman, would you like a glass of champagne?
Yeah, there's
now?
A famous Seinfeld episode where they treat them like little princes and princesses.
And then the
seat paraffin hand wax.
And the seat goes all the way back.
Right.
Where, you know, the rest comes in, you can go to sleep. They give you house shoes, little shoes to walk with.
The little iPad.
Right. And I don't know if it's still. I haven't traveled for that way for a while. But each course was served separately.
Right.
And on one little plastic tray, it was all on like China type of things.
Yes.
But it depends on the airline.
I did a lot with the British Airways, but to top it all, if the plane was delayed. They have a first-class lounge, which you would go to.
They yes,
TVs,
they do have
movies,
a beautiful. It's very
and
plush.
And a buffet and
yes.
free alcohol. And
you love buffets.
I love buffets.
Now, how come you're not, like, huge?
Actually,
you
I don't like buffets.
You talk about food so much.
I am huge.
No.
Everything is girdled.
You have Spanx for men.
Spanx. Do you know how much that lady made?
Oh, my God. It's outrageous. I wish I came up with it.
I saw on one of the shows, I think she's worth, like, $10 billion
yes.
from Spanx.
Really?
She probably bought her husband.
Right.
$10
billion? Yes.
$10 with nine zeros?
Yes.
I don't know. You're the actuary.
Well, that's as much as Donald Trump is worth.
I don't.
Yeah, and she's really cool about being a rich lady. She doesn't, like, throw it up everybody else's.
But do you realize that Donald doesn't want to show his income tax? And I'm not sure why.
And the girl has the daughter Ivanka. The shoes are made in China. What's up with that? And then the wife, Melania, is very tight-lipped about the skincare line. We don't know where that's made.
Do you realize when he builds the wall, on one side there's going to be a wall in Mexico, and the other side he has a luxury hotel?
Yes, that's what he said. That's what he said.
And on which side?
Well, you know what? Given my ethnicity, I'll probably be working in a labor camp, right?
But you know what?
Well, you're going to be deported.
But you know what he's going to do?
Tags on
he's
me.
Going to import or bring in Chinese workers, coolies, to make another wall of China.
Because they built the wall of China.
Yes.
Of course, they have the experience.
And 5,000 years ago.
It's a sad state of where our country's going,
and they're going to change the White House to the Trump House.
Yes.
And he's going to rent rooms in it. It's going to become a bed and breakfast.
To make money.
Yeah.
That way we get rid of the national debt.
That's it.
Yeah. I don't like how he, like, is really into his daughter a little too much.
Well, that's a big joke. I don't know.
You think he's a pervert?
Well, he said, if she wasn't my daughter, I'd date her.
Well,
I mean, who would say that?
That's a compliment. It's a nice compliment.
Really? You think so?
Yeah. I don't think he would do anything, off.
No, I don't think he'd do anything to his kid, but he did say if she was single and he wasn't my daughter.
Well,
if she wasn't his daughter.
I think that was – I mean, there's so many other things that I could comment about, and that was sort of a little taken out of context.
How old is he? About 60?
He's 69.
And his daughter is like 25?
Probably, yeah.
Okay, that's a big age difference. But other people have, consummated bigger
Well, Woody is Woody Allen was 80.
She married somebody even richer than her dad. That's pretty impressive.
He's Jewish.
Yeah, nice Jewish boy. And
she converted.
She converted. And she dresses much more conservatively now, have you noticed?
And so did Clinton marry a Jewish boy.
She did, but I don't think she converted.
I don't know if he's Orthodox or not.
No, the other one is from a religious conservative family, but not the Clinton one.
And
so who are you voting for?
You don't have to
say. Well, I'm feeling the burn. Come on.
You're feeling the burn?
I'm feeling the burn.
He is putting up some hell of a contest.
I like him so much. He's such a good man.
The only trouble...
But he wants to deregulate Wall Street. How's that going to happen? It's a capitalist society.
No, he wants to regulate them. He wants to put...
He wants to get rid of them.
Oh, to get rid of them? Yeah. That's going to be pretty hard.
Yeah, but I like Bernie.
That's...
Does he have a shot, you guys?
Not really, because...
Mathematically, he's not out yet.
Yeah, but I think he needs like 99.9% of the rest of the
it's
delegates.
It's not impossible. He's on a
you
roll.
Know, my sister was a Clinton appointee, and she's really not even that into Hillary. I don't. Some people like her, some people don't.
Well, years ago, I thought this would be good, and I was like for her. Well, not outwardly.
But I hate to get political, but she's really in with the big corporations.
Yeah, but you know what?
Well, so is everybody else aside from Bernie.
She has such baggage and so many
That's
skeletons.
Benghazi did it for my sister. She was a Clinton appointee. She worked so hard for
Benghazi
the Clintons.
Benghazi was the worst. And you know what? When they asked those questions, she had a big inquiry, 6 months ago?
Yes.
She came out smelling like a rose because the idiots, as smart as they think they are, they asked the wrong question.
Yes.
Well, the setup was also, we're going to do this inquiry because we're going to get Hillary, no matter what.
Well, she's also in with a big media conglomerate.
But they tried to do that with Billy when they had that guy Ken Starr after
Oh,
him.
Yes.
I mean, who the hell cares what he was doing?
Yeah, but Bubba had a certain kind of charm.
Well, he is a fantastic.
He could get out of anything. Come on.
He is a fantastic. I mean, giving speeches.
He's a good speaker.
Yes.
When he speaks, he's speaking directly to you. I don't care if it's
a
million people.
So if she becomes the president, then he's going to be the first man?
First man.
That's going to be interesting. This country's turning into a monarchy, I'm saying.
And she's going to give him the apple. And then
I think if she wins, she would probably include him in some capacity.
She would.
Unofficially.
I don't know if you watch House of Cards.
No, I should, though.
I should, because I think the couple, Kevin Spacey.
Are like
Bill and Hillary. Too much like.
Interesting.
And Robin Wright.
And Robin, she's beautiful. I love her.
Unbelievable.
Great actress. I love her, The Princess Bride.
I love her.
That's a hell of a show. Yeah. I mean, for years, people, what do you mean you never watched it? So one day I'm on a plane going on 5 hours. I put it on and I get hooked.
That's why I don't watch it. I know I have enough addictions with television.
I binge watch it.
I'm like that with Orange is the New Black. And I did that with the first season of, what's the thing with Jeffrey Tambor?
The
transgendered one.
Yeah.
Did you like the new Orange is
Transsexual.
Black? Or was it the new Black is Orange?
I liked Orange is the New Black because it's all women. And you see their journey. It's really interesting. You see how they ended up in prison.
Do you see House of Thrones? Game of Thrones?
No, I'm not into Game of Thrones. I like the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is so cute. I would love to work on that show. It's a great show.
You watch Banshee?
No.
You ever hear it?
Yes.
Do you know what the premise is?
Yeah, a lot of naked women.
No, that's not the premise.
That's my premise.
Oh, well, God. Maybe.
And they were all good shape. I mean, they were all...
Yeah, right. How about Ray Donovan?
I've seen it a few times.
John Voight?
Yeah. I love John Voight.
Well, John Voight is just one of the players. Mm-hmm. He's not the star.
What's
his name? It's Liev Schreiber.
Liev Schreiber. Yeah.
Great actor.
Anyway, guys, you realize we only have a minute.
I know.
We do this 55. So
it's almost gone. I
guess
I can't
you can find me at Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, everything at Vida Ghaffari, VIDAGHAFFARI.
So that's how people can reach you if they want to reach you.
Yes,
okay.
They want to find me.
And you're definitely going to come back on the show.
I would be honored, and I will be sure to be here at 2:30.
We'll change it to 3:30.
Yeah, it'll change it to I'm going to make it the Persian time.
Well, what happens is the studio, they give us whatever they have allotted.
Right, because we're not one of the big players in the
studio. Yeah, you are. You're the only show in here, aren't you?
Well, right, but they do all the animation and the voiceovers.
Yeah, but you're like your own live show.
Right now, just this minute, but they're very busy.
You're Stan and Malcolm.
Do you hear that, Andy?
Malcolm and Stan.
You hear that, Andy?
Malcolm and Stan.
Are you also on LinkedIn?
I am on LinkedIn.
Okay, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, everything.
Pinterest, Instagram.
If not, call us and we'll tell you where to reach her.
Exactly. SoVeryVita.com is my blog.
And if you're a guy interested, she's single.
Yes, very. I'm married to my blog.
She's
That's
married
all
to
I
her
do
blog,
is my blog.
So she's safe.
Whoever it is, he comes second.
Yes.
Well, unless he's the one.
Unless he's the one,
even if he's
the blog.
He'll still be second. If you have a professional female that, and they like what they do, whoever it is will be second.
We're going to get her radio
show. That's about it. Okay, it's
It's
going
what?
To give us the finger in reverse.
He doesn't tell. We cut him off.
The finger in reverse? What's
well,
that?
Usually he points.
No.
Oh,
okay,
oh.
Keith.
So
I said, Keith
it blinked
Aaron.
At 52
okay,
minutes,
Aaron.
Though.
Okay,
we're over.
That's it. We don't want
it's
to get
over.
It.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.